I'm so glad to be here. What a great privilege to be in Sacramento today. And God is so good. Amen. He's always good to us. And I appreciate your pastor. And I just wanted to come. My wife is back here, Joanne. We just celebrated 37 years of marriage. And now we've got 10 grandkids. And who's got more than 10? Raise your hand. I was seeing fingers going up. You're dead broke, aren't you? These kids cost us a fortune, but it's worth it. We are so thankful. I'm glad to have Caleb and Jessica Kaufman. This is my daughter and son-in-law, and this is the son-in-law that I love. The other one I don't really like, but I appreciate these two kids. Caleb's a physical therapist, a doctor in the Stockton area. If you've ever got any health pains, you see him, he'll heal you. I'm just kidding. I just gave him all kinds of assignments, but he's been a helper to a lot of people. And they have with them our three of our grandsons, Wesley, and then Sterling, and then Gunner, and little baby girls coming any day. And we're excited. I'm so thankful for all that God's given to us. And Pastor, we thank God for you. I mentioned in Sunday school what a miracle it is to see him up so well and getting around. He's talking about eating ice cream. Listen, ice cream makes you happy. You know, even one bite, you know, makes you happy. I like to run. I was saying that in Sunday school. I try to run 6-7 miles, and I was running down in Carmel. Give me a little bit here. Is this on? Are we on, young man up there? You sound guys, are you guys up there smoking? What are you doing? Paying attention? Praise God. You just keep watching me now. And I was running in Carmel, and I think I finished about 6 miles. And ran right into a donut place. And I walked, ran up to the counter. I'm soaking sweat. I'm going to walk back to the hotel. And I said, I'll have 2 donuts. And she looked at me. She said, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean what I'm doing? She said, you're running. You want a donut? I said, lady, my motto is for every mile I run, I eat a donut. Praise God. And so we are thankful to be here. And your church has had a huge impact on the state of California. A couple of big reasons, that Capital Connection. God's used this church in some powerful ways. And keep supporting that. Get behind your pastor on those. The 2-minute warning, God's used that in so many ways. And I was glad over those years to have our men involved in that from Manteca, Central Valley Baptist Church. And then your evangelist, Tim Schmidt. God's used that young man. And isn't a blessing to know he's out representing this church today as an evangelist out of this ministry. And Pastor, that's a credit to you and your influence. And God bless you and thank God for that. How many is happy to be in church today? Say amen. Amen. Let's go to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 20. Normally when someone says, let's go to Judges, it's going to be a heavy message because Judges is a story of the children of Israel where they departed from God, departed from the worship of God, and went into error. And God raised up judges, and these judges were not what we think about, judges in black robes that rule by law. But when we see the Old Testament judges, these were great, mighty men that God used to deliver Israel from sin and from idolatry. We think about Samson, the great judges that God used. And we're going to look at a story in chapter 20 today that I'm going to illustrate a little bit as well in my message. Judges chapter number 20. And we're going to read verses 14 down through verse number 16 in our Bibles. Judges chapter number 20. And once you found your place, if you're able to stand with me, let's stand and give reading attentiveness to the Word of God. Beginning at verse number 14, Judges chapter number 20. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. Somebody was commenting on my red Bible. They said, you got a red Bible. He actually said dark pink, but it's a red Bible. Everybody ought to have a red Bible. R-E-A-D. Amen. Did you catch that? Judges chapter number 20. Look at verse number 14. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities of Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities, 26,000 men that drew sword. beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all these people, there were the 700 chosen men, and notice the next word, left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at an hair breadth and not miss. Here's what we have. The children of Benjamin, there were 26,000 men that could fight with a sword. And what that meant is they'd have a sword and they always had a shield. In ancient history, that's the way the battle was. A sword and a shield. But here the Bible says there were 700 chosen men. Isn't it interesting? They were left-handed. I want to preach to you about these left-handed men, and how I want to title the message is we're going to look at left-handed warriors. Why left-handed, and what's the significance of this? It just seems to me if God took the time to point out these 700 chosen men that were left-handed, what's the significance? Got to be a lesson there. Couple quick thoughts, and we'll get to the message. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for allowing us to be here and to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior like we do every week. Our Savior is alive. Thank You that we get to serve a living Savior. Again, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts out of Your Word. Thank You for this church and this opportunity. Now bless, I pray, these thoughts. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. You could be seated. 700 men that with the left hand were expert at the sling. Now, you need to understand in these ancient days, weaponry was very primitive as we would think. But don't misunderstand this. These guys were absolutely ruthless and accurate with these weapons. They knew how to use the sword, but here are 700 that knew how to use the sling. And the uniqueness of this is they use the sling with the left hand. The ancient sling, if I had one, it'd just have two ropes, and then a pouch. And in the pouch would be placed a stone or some implement to be thrown. And so they would sling it this way, or they would do the figure eight, and then they would let go of one of those straps, and it would hurl the stone in the direction that it was intended. Who can name me right now someone in the Old Testament that was expert with the sling? Who was it? You know that David took that sling. He took five stones out of the brook, and he slung one of those stones and hit Goliath in the forehead. This is the interesting thing. Goliath didn't go backward. The Bible says he fell forward. I think that's because God's the one who took him down, not David. Amen. But that stone embedded in his forehead and took him out, and then David chopped his head off with the sword. But he was an expert with the sling. Now here we have an interesting episode in the life of Israel where we have these 700 men that became expert in the left hand. Now this is a unique thing because historically, and even to this day, the left hand is always considered the weaker of the hands. As a matter of fact, I think the most discriminated people historically have always been left-handed people. Because all of history has been the right hand. You look at ancient history, all the tools were right-handed tools. All the weapons were intended for right hand. But here we have these 700 men that are left-handed warriors. Now, I look at this and I ask myself, what would be the significance of God specifically pointing out 700 left-handed warriors? Why is that? Especially when you think about what it says in verse number 14. They were the children of Benjamin. Now, here's a unique thing about Benjamin. The name Benjamin means son of the right hand. Isn't it ironic? Son of the right hand. And so we have here the sons of the right hand, but here we have 700 Benjamites that are left-handed. Interesting. Jewish tradition, I already said, Jewish tradition, just like ancient history, has always been built around the right hand. Now, I know we have some left-handed people here, so if you are left-handed, raise your left hand. One, two, several, about one-third of the group. All of you are strange people. I married a left-handed woman, And I often tell her, I remind her that Adolf Hitler was left-handed. Then she says, so was Ronald Reagan. So, but left-handed. Mothers taught their children to write with the right hand. Ancient Hebrews. So the right hand has always been the emphasis in Scripture. When Stephen was dying, he saw standing on the at the throne of God on the right hand, the Son of God, Jesus. The right hand. The right hand is always emphasized in Scripture. When you look at the right hand, it always signifies and indicates blessings. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. But here we have 700 left-handed warriors. You got to ask yourself, why 700? What in the world is the deal? Why would there be 700? Here's all I can assume. We would be stretching the logic of Scripture to imagine that there were 700 men born only left-handed, especially when you understand in the culture, even if you were born with a left-hand tendency, you were trained to use the right hand. So I think what we need to come to is maybe a realization that somewhere along the line, these 700 men were in battle and the enemy, instead of killing them, hampered them and crippled their right hand. That makes logical sense. So they were in battle with that sword, and somehow during a battle, those men, their right hand was wounded, so they couldn't use it, and so they went to the left hand. And so they started using the left hand. See, here's what they came to. They thought to themselves, we've got to stay in the fight, but I lost my right hand, so I'm going to learn to use my left hand. 700 of these men. So to illustrate that, I got to show you, with my pink rope. How you like that? A pink rope for the preacher today. Somebody say amen. Amen. Pastor, would you come here and tie my right hand down? I'm going to preach an entire message with my right hand tied to my body. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to sweat like a pig, I'm sure. So just tie me up. Go ahead. Just tie this right down.
Okay.
There you go. Don't cut off my blood flow. Don't kill me. Don't hang me with that. No, don't put, there you go, there you go, there you go. Tie me right on there. Just tie that nice and tight. So I'm going to preach with my left hand. Now this is going to be tough because I am a right-handed man. And here are these guys. Praise the Lord. Hey, he's got me tying up. How's this pink rope look, honey? You proud of me? Praise the Lord. This is a horse leash is what it is. And I asked today, this is no kidding, I asked, is that hanging in the back like a tail? So I got me a tail too. So I asked a lady today, I said, who's got a rope? And I said, it's got to be about 10 feet long. She just so happened to have a 10-foot rope. Who has a 10-foot rope in church? Here they are. Something happened where they lost their right arm. So they had to make a decision. I'm either going to stop fighting or I'm going to find a way to stay in the battle. You see, God brings us all to a place where sometimes we lose our strength. But God says, I'll give you another chance. We're going to look at this in two basic ways. First of all, we're going to consider God's purpose and then man's purpose. So these left-handed warriors, they were crippled perhaps in battle. And by the way, crippling the right hand was to cripple them in their strength. Listen to me carefully, church, and I want to, I'm not your pastor, but I want to give you a pastor thought for just a minute. Satan knows how to get at you. Did you hear what I just said? He doesn't always come at you in your weaknesses. Sometimes he comes at you in your strengths. You take somebody who gets happy in Jesus. And by the way, Christians ought to be happy in the Lord. You take somebody who gets happy in Jesus, that same person could be shouting glory to God one Sunday and on Monday be as depressed as anybody ever was. That's how the devil works. He focuses on your strengths, but also your weaknesses. And so he took out these 700 men. He took out their right arms. And these men had to decide, I'm either going to sit out of the fight or I'm going to find another way to get into the battle. I can't wield a sword anymore and I can't carry a shield, but I can sure learn to use my left hand. Now look at me. I'm trying to change my page notes with my left hand. It's hard to do. It's something you got to learn. You got to learn how to use that left hand. And so this message is real simple. I want you to understand that if you've been wounded in the battle, God's still got a plan to use you yet. You can go from the right hand to learning how to sling with the left. Now, I'm not left-handed, and I'm just going to illustrate how awkward it looks. Imagine me with a sling right now, and I'm going to try to sling with the left. I look kind of silly. I'm not smooth. But see, the more you do it, the better you get at it. And you get better and better. And you keep working at it, you'll learn to use that left hand. Amen, church? God wants to teach you a new way and teach you a new strength. And God can bring you to that place where you learn to use that left hand. So it's a lesson, first of all, about the Lord. A lesson about the Lord, number one. God can and does use unlikely people. Woo! Glory to God. This is an unlikely crowd of people. No matter what your background is, God can take an unlikely vessel and do something mighty with them. Is everybody still listening? I'm sweating already because I can't move my right arm. I'm used to preaching with my right hand. I mean, I can't even pound with the left hand. I look silly doing it with the left hand. But God will take unlikely warriors, wounded warriors, and do something mighty with them. Unlikely. God uses unlikely vessels and unlikely people. These 700 handicapped heroes, unlikely heroes, wounded in the battle. And God said, you lost your right hand, but I'm going to let you use your left hand for my glory. God uses unlikely people. Look at me, listen to me. People come through the doors of this church. They might look unlikely, but God's got a plan for every one of you. No matter your background. I love a church that's got people all tatted up, pierced up. I mean, showing the world all over them. Come on, church, help me. It's a soul-winning church. And soul-winning churches say, come on in. I don't care what you look like. God can take somebody with the worst of our company and make something mighty out of them. I'm thinking about Bill Sullivan. I called him Big Bill Sullivan. Bill Sullivan came to our church in Massachusetts. He's a biker. Big old biker, about 380 pounds. Had a big old chain hanging down here, you know, holding his wallet in his pocket. And Bill Sullivan came into church. And man, he got saved on the altar on a Sunday morning. And I'll never forget the second Sunday he came through. My wife and I'd always be at the door greeting folks, you know, thanking him for coming. And Bill came through, big, big Bill. And he came through. And I'm shaking the hands of folks, you know, and Bill came through, and behind him was a whole line of older ladies. And Bill, he says to me, he says, preacher, that was the best blankety blank blank sermon I ever heard in my life. And all those ladies just about fell down in domino line. And he looked down, and I went like this, and my wife went like this. And he said, maybe I shouldn't have used those words, but it was a good sermon. Hey, listen to me. God began to change that guy, clean him up. Bill Sullivan became a great blessing to me all those years. I'm just saying God uses unlikely folks. Raise your left hand if you're thankful to know that. Amen? He'll use you. Doesn't matter what your background is. Our churches need to get back to the place where everybody understands that you can find your home in this church. Whether you're divorced or separated or going through all kinds of situations or issues, God uses unlikely people. And God will use you if you'll just get back to saying, Lord, I've been wounded, but God teach me how to use my left hand. You see, God has a purpose. And this is about the Lord, that He uses unlikely people. Unlikely people. Go in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. So I'm going to turn with my left hand. You do the same thing now. You can't use your right hand. Don't use your dominant. You got to do this with me. So I'm going to put a mark in Judges. And I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians. And let's look at chapter number 1. God uses unlikely people. Thank God He does. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Notice what it says in verse number 26. This is for you see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no glory should, no flesh should glory in His presence. Oh, thank God today He simply needs people willing to say, Lord, I'll sling the stone with the left hand if need be. You know, David was an unlikely warrior. He didn't start out the way he ended up in great strength. As a matter of fact, David started out so unlikely that when Samuel came to anoint the next king, you remember what happened? All the sons of Jesse came through and he looked at this crowd. He said, these are none of these are the anointed. And even David's father didn't have any confidence at all that David could have been the king. And so in almost a secondary thought, Jesse said, well, I've got another son. He's out tending sheep. He's out there doing meaningless jobs. And Samuel said, bring him hither. And when David came in, that unlikely boy, not even expected by his own father, he came through it. Jesse said, behold, the anointed of the Lord, and anointed David king. He was an unlikely one. See, God uses the unlikely, and God will use, even in our day, unlikely vessels. Paul. He was unlikely. You remember when Saul got saved? Everybody was scared of him. He was brought to the church of Jerusalem, and they said, who is this guy? We heard he kills Christians. But it took Barnabas, God raised up Barnabas, to introduce Paul to the church so that they would say, indeed, he is a vessel of God. See, God uses unlikely vessels. And I'm telling you today, if you'd understand God's purpose in this, is that you might learn to use this. God wants to teach us to use the left hand. If you've been wounded, thank God, that doesn't mean you sit out of the fight, because God still can use an unlikely vessel. So, number two, not only is it a lesson about God, but this left-handed warrior story is a lesson about God's people. 700 left-handed warriors back in Judges, if you go back there. 700 left-handed warriors. What's the significance of this? What does this mean? Why 700? What do we learn from these 700 left-handed warriors? I think there are several things we learn. And I think this will help us today. If you'll just jot some of these thoughts down or keep them in your minds as you think about left-handed warriors. What is it? What kept these guys in the fight? Well, write this down. First of all, these men were men who refused to be stopped. Somewhere along the line, they got crippled in the right arm. And if anybody had a reason to sit out of the fight, it probably was them. Can you imagine those 700 men getting together on a Friday night? They knew a fight was coming on the next day. And they looked at each other and said, guys, we used to have a right arm. We used to fight. But now we're wounded. Oh, we have a reason to sit out of the fight. But one of them stood up, I'm sure, and said, oh no, I've still got another hand. And I'm going to use this hand for God's glory. And I'm going to learn how to use this left hand. You see, what I'm trying to say is, what made the difference with these 700 men is they refused to be stopped. Now I want to ask you today, what causes you to stop? What does it take for you to get stopped? I think Christians today are just too easy to give up. Just give up. We throw in the towel. You know something? What made this country great was people refusing to be stopped. I mean, you think about this West. I remember I came out to California back in 2005, my wife and I, and we loved pastoring here all those years. And I'll tell you, I read a book. Somebody gave me this book, Men to Match My Mountains. Anybody ever read that book? You got to get that book. Have your kids read that. About 600, 700 pages, Men to Match My Mountains. It's all about the Western expansion, how people came into the West. And they came out here against all the odds and faced all the opposition, but they refused to be stopped. God give us Christians that refuse to be stopped. I'm going to keep faithful. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to keep pressing on. And Christian, what makes the difference in 2021 is what made the difference in 2020. Is just refuse to stop. You refuse to give up. And God give us Christians that say, you know what? I lost this, and man, am I getting sick of this. I lost this, but I'm not going to stop. I'm going to refuse to give up. These 700 men refused to give up. Write this scripture down, would you? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1 and verse 16. It's repeated twice. 2 Corinthians 4:1, it says, we faint not. We faint not. And then it's repeated in verse 16. We faint not, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. What we need is a people of God who refuse to give up, who refuse to throw in the towel, and that say, listen, I can't use the right hand. I'll learn to use the left. You see, just refuse to give up. God help us get back to slinging the stones. Oh yeah, we've been crippled. The church, I believe, has been crippled in this last year. No doubt about it. We lost traction through COVID. Are y'all listening to me? Church has lost traction. You need to understand, as a pastor, one of the giant forces in our pastoring is momentum. And we get momentum going, and we get inertia going, and we hope to keep pushing this thing. And all of a sudden, we're told we can't even have church. And it stopped us. And we lost our drive, but it's time we get back. Yeah, we've been wounded, but bless God, we're going to use that left hand. Refuse to be stopped. I think there's a second thing here. Let me say this. These were men, these 700 men who were men who recognized the stumbling blocks. See, first, they refused to be stopped. But secondly, they recognized the stumbling blocks. Now, you know what a stumbling block is? By definition, a stumbling block is a circumstance causing difficulty or hesitancy. Now, you think about the left hand. If you're not accustomed to using the left hand, it's awkward to use this, especially if you're going to use it as a weapon. To be able to sling a stone, it'll cause a stumbling block, your inability. Remember the significance of the right hand now. That right hand, it was a right-handed world back then, like it is in many cases today. But the stumbling block. Now, you've got something in your life that's a stumbling block. Something's come into your life. Something came into your days. Something is in your pathways causing you to stumble. What are you going to do? Keep tripping over it or learn to use your left hand? Our great hymns, we sang Blessed Assurance today. Oh, I love that song. Just when you played the first note, my heart just got happy. Da-da-da-da. I love that song. Fanny Crosby, she wrote over 1,000 hymns. They say 9,000 poems, but 1,000 hymns. That song was introduced in Northfield, Massachusetts in 1884. And she was there on the platform with D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey. And Fanny Crosby was there to sing some songs. When Moody said to her, Miss Crosby, I understand you wrote a new poem and a new song. And she introduced Blessed Assurance on that platform in 1884. And that great song. But listen to me. Please be reminded, Fanny Crosby was blind. Someone one day said to her, Miss Crosby, imagine what you could have done for God if you had your sight. She said, oh no. She said, because I have no sight, I can see things that otherwise I'd have never seen before. She learned to use that left hand. Another great, great hymnist, not a hymnist, but a singer. They called him America's favorite gospel singer, Jack Holcomb. Anybody ever heard of Jack Holcomb? Jack Holcomb. He sang in the 40s and 50s and into the 60s. Jack Holcomb and his wife had a little baby girl. She was 11 months old. And Jack Holcomb had been singing and doing evangelistic meetings all over America for a while. When his little daughter, Jo Ellen, was sitting at the supper table and in a high chair, she fell out of the high chair onto her head and it killed her instantly. They took the little baby to the morgue and was preparing for the funeral. But that night, a terrible tornado blew through town, destroyed the morgue, and her little body was gone. Nothing left. Jack Holcomb, of course, heartbroken. His wife, can you imagine that heartache? But Jack Holcomb went to a funeral where there were 19 caskets, all unidentified people. They were going to have a mass funeral. This was in the 1960s. And he went to that funeral, and there was a little casket. He looked inside that casket. It was his little baby girl. They found her body. brokenhearted Jack Holcomb went through that sorrow, went through that anguish, and he's the one that made that song famous, "Why Should He Love Me So?" Why should he love me so? And then another song he made famous after that heartache was "Take Your Burden to the Lord and Leave It There." Oh, I'm trying to tell you that stumbling blocks will come, but praise the Lord, you learn to take that stumbling block and use your left hand. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 22, it says, "A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the confidence thereof." He scaleth the walls of the mighty. You see, God might be putting you in a position right now with a stumbling block in view that God says, "I want you to scale that wall." My father was a pastor for many years and a strong, strong man, physically strong. One day he got sick, and within 36 hours, my dad was paralyzed head to toe. He was hit with what's called Guillain-Barré syndrome, GBS. He was paralyzed, literally all of his body except one eyebrow and his chin. That's all he could move. And so dad was on a ventilator and in ICU for 4 months, and it was a terrible situation. And in time, God began to deliver dad from that paralysis, slowly but surely. But I remember I was taking care of my dad there in Michigan. I was in Massachusetts pastoring, but we would take care of dad. But dad said to me, he said, "I want you to put me in the wheelchair and I want to go soul winning." So from a wheelchair, he'd tell me, he'd say, "Son, you go up and knock on the door, then I want you to get out of the way because I want somebody to come talk to me. I want to witness to them about the Lord." And they'd come out into the driveway and talk to my dad. My dad one time, pastor, he was in a grocery store, and he told me, "Just put me in the middle of the walkway where everybody goes." And he said, "As people come by, I'm going to give them gospel tracts." So I said, "Well, dad, how are you going to do that? You can't use your hands." He was still paralyzed that way. He said, "I'm going to just call people over. Watch me." So he sat in a wheelchair, and can you imagine this? A man about 65 years old, paralyzed, sitting in a wheelchair, and all of a sudden you hear this, "Hey, you, come here." And so people would come over and they'd see this old man in a wheelchair. They'd say, "Yes, sir." My dad would say, "You see my pocket? Take one of those papers out." And people would take out a gospel tract. He said, "Now read that. It'll tell you how to know for sure you're going to heaven one day." Well, one day I'm standing there watching this. Dad said, "Hey, you, come here." The fella came over and said, "In my pocket, take that out." The guy reached in there, pulled it out. My dad says, "No, put that back. That's my paycheck. Take the other thing." And I'm trying to say this. Obstacles don't mean stop. It doesn't mean stop. God says you might need to learn to use your left hand. And here's an example I just gave you of a man who, though in a wheelchair, was still a witness. What's your excuse? You say, "Well, pastor, I'm wounded." I'm wounded! Yeah, I know. We're all wounded. That doesn't mean quit! That means learn to use your left hand. They refused to be stopped. They recognized the stumbling blocks. Am I helping anybody today? You know I am. And then notice next, these men, watch this one. They reacted in switching. They reacted in switching. You know the word switching, it means this, the act of adopting a way of life. Or it's a verb, it means to change purpose or focus. They switched from the right hand to the left. How good are you at switching? You say, "Well, preacher, if things don't stay exactly like I like it, I'm not going to do it." Then you're stuck and you're no longer effective for God. You see, life is a series of switching. You go from this to this to this to this. And if you think it's always going to be this, you're mistaken. Things happen. Things change. As we get older, things change. And I'm afraid, pastor, if we don't keep switching through life, we'll become ineffective. Now, I thank God for people who do something for a lifetime. I'm talking about a Sunday school teacher. You just keep teaching that Sunday school class for a lifetime. Somebody say amen for that. That's a wonderful thing. A church organist or pianist, somebody just stays with it. But listen, that doesn't mean you'll be able to do what you're doing for a lifetime. But be willing to switch, to adapt. Listen, these men, these 700 men, they said, "We can't do what we used to do, but we're going to find a way to switch." How good are you at switching? How good are you at adapting? You've got to learn to move from the right hand to the left. That's what made the difference with these 700 men. I mean, listen, they could have quit. They could have said, we're used to bees. We used to use the right hand, but they switched. I think about the Apostle Paul when he wanted to go a certain way and the Holy Spirit forbade him. And instead he saw that vision of that fellow from Macedonia who said, come over and help us. It was at Troas that Paul had to switch. How good are you at switching, church? You got to switch. My friend, don't throw in the towel when you go to Troas. It's at Troas that God says, go this way and follow the Lord's leading. I think about my good friend, Randy Davis. He was a staff evangelist at our church in Massachusetts. Thank God for those men. And Randy would preach out every weekend and travel all over New England when we were there. And Randy's just a great man. But you know, Randy Davis today, he can't even walk 10 feet. He can't. He has no strength. He can't preach. I'm going to preach with him this fall. We're going to celebrate 35 years of that church in New England that we started back right out of Bible college. And Randy's going to preach before me, and I'm going to preach after him. And he said to me recently, he said, I don't know how long I can preach. I said, man, preach until you haven't got anything more to say. And he just doesn't have a lot of energy. But he said this to me. He said, you know, I can't travel and I can't do what I used to do. But he said, you know what I do now? He said, I have a texting ministry. He said, I text anywhere from 70 to 100 pastors every other day. And he said, all I do is just send them, and I get those texts. Every other day I get a text from Randy. He said, it's my ministry now. You know what he did? He switched. He switched. Listen to me. Don't throw in the towel. I know you can't do what you used to do, but praise the Lord, you can learn to switch. Use the left hand. Amen, church? Use the left hand. So these are men that reacted in switching. Then let me give you this next thing. They were men who reached for success. Now, don't miss me here. Being the left-handed didn't mean they were less. As a matter of fact, the ones that were pointed out as chosen were the left-handed warriors. It don't say anything about the sword-bearing. Notice what it says there. It says the children of Benjamin, they gathered together. The children of Benjamin numbered 26,000. And then it says 700 chosen men. Who were the chosen ones? The left-handed warriors. I love what it says. They could throw a stone at a hair's breadth. You know what that means? That means when they threw the first stone, it hit a target. But the second stone, it was a hair's breadth off. No more than a hair's breadth. That's how accurate they were. In other words, it would hit, and the next one could hit almost exactly where the first one went. They were effective. It's ancient artillery. The ancient artillery. These 700 were men that were absolutely skilled and successful. They were powerfully used of God. Oh, listen to me, church. In this day, 2021, this isn't the day to sit back and get mediocre and lazy and passive. Oh no, it's time we step up and say, God, use me, even if it means just the left hand. Success. You see, the Lord delights in using unlikely people. Just recently, my wife and I were in a service where a lady sang, you know, as you get older, you lose your diaphragm. Singing is based on the diaphragm right here, that muscle right there. As you get older, you lose that diaphragm. And she was singing. And because that diaphragm bass is gone, it's hard to hold that note. And I heard her struggling to hold that note. And I kid you not, and I don't claim to be a good singer, but I know music. My eyes filled up with tears because I saw that precious lady. She couldn't hold the note, but buddy, she kept trying. And I say hoorah for a Christian who keeps trying. Just keep on swinging that sling. Learn to use that left hand. Learn to say, God, I'm going to find a way to be effective for God again. You say, why would you preach a message like that to us today, preacher? Here's why. Because we've all been wounded. Every one of us. I can't wait to take this rope off my arm. I'm telling you, I'm sweating like a pig right in here. Don't come near me after church. I'm telling you right now. You know what? One of these days, I am going to take this rope off forever. No more limits. I'm talking about when the upper taker takes us out of this world. Amen, church? We're not going to be here forever. Thank God. I was thinking about Miss Joyce Tyler. Jessica, you remember her? Miss Tyler, God bless her. She had cerebral palsy. All her life, she was crippled up. Her whole life, her arms were like this. She never walked on her two feet ever in her whole life. She died at 72 years old. But I would preach, and she always sat right here, right there. And I'd preach, and I'd talk about the rapture. And I'd talk about one of these days Jesus is going to call the church out of this world. And I'd preach and I'd say, Miss Joyce is going to come out of that wheelchair and she's going to be whole. And she'd get over there and her whole crippled arms, and she'd start waving them as best she could because she knew that day was going to come. You know what? She's in heaven today. And one of these days that old body is going to be raised from that grave to be reunited with her spirit and soul and ever be with the Lord. Somebody say amen. Don't you give up. This isn't quitting time. Amen, church. Got to keeping that Sunday school. Keeping that choir when you have choir. Keeping your soul winning. Keeping your witnessing. Keeping the Sunday night service. Keeping the Wednesday night service. Hey, it's time to use the left hand. Don't quit. Don't be stopped. Don't let anything stop you. Oh, I don't know what you're facing today, but I do know this. There's a Father in heaven who sees where you are. And I want to ask you a question right now. Are you saved? It could be you're not even saved. Wouldn't it be something? You got saved. All you got to do is accept His gift. He died on the cross and rose from the dead. He's willing to save you if you say, Lord, save me. And He will. Let's bow together, please, in prayer.